Hey, welcome on back to another episode of Beyond the Bases. Good to be back with you. I'm Kyle Seeloff, and our guest today is Marlins reliever Anthony Bass, who recently signed a two-year deal with the ball club. Anthony and I discuss his big league career that's been filled with twists and turns, and at what point it all turned around for him. Needless to say, he was a long way away from home when he finally felt like himself on the mound again. Also, his go-to pregame meal. That's very important. His favorite meal prepared by his wife, also very important. And is there a particular song he'll enter to when he comes out of the bullpen this season? So, enjoy it. Here's Anthony Bass.
One of the newest Marlins, Anthony Bass, will be out in the bullpen for Miami in 2021. Anthony, welcome to Beyond the Bases. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself, Kyle?
I'm doing well, thank you. And even better now that all indications point to spring training starting on time and you guys playing 162-game schedule. Obviously, it wasn't easy for a lot of guys last year, but from some of your teammates and maybe some of your friends around the league, how excited are you to get going and get back to that grind that's going to last 8 months?
Yes, I'm very excited. It's right around this time as we start getting that itch again to get back out in the ball diamond. Obviously, meeting a bunch of new teammates. I'm really looking forward to it. Really good group of guys from what I hear. Very talented group. They gave us a run for our money last year. So I'm really excited to join the Marlins.
Why Miami when you were going through your selection process?
Basically what I said, they were a really tough team last year. And I see that this team has a lot of potential getting back into the dance in October. That was kind of priority one for me, being on a contender, getting a taste of that last year with Toronto. I just wanted to keep that. I wanted to go to a team that had that same hunger and same ability to get back. And then secondly, just felt really comfortable through the whole negotiation process, talking with the front office there. And I really liked that they wanted me for more than 1 year. That was also another selling point.
And I would say too, Anthony, you know, it almost to me feels like you're one of the fortunate ones because I read so many articles now, so many major league baseball players without a job. And I would just like to know from your perspective, how challenging, frustrating, how nervous were you throughout this process? I mean, maybe was there ever a point where you're like, am I going to be back in the big leagues next year?
Thankfully, I got really good representation at Beverly Hills, and they've kind of put my mind at ease. It's really easy to fall into that trap. More so probably my wife was more concerned than I was. I know I'd come off of consecutive solid seasons in the major leagues, so I knew that there was going to be interest. I just knew that once the market started to develop there for right-handed relievers and the bigger names kind of went off the board, I knew you know, I was kind of next up. So I wasn't really stressed. I was more than anything just anxious to find out where I was going.
Coming off the season that you had in Toronto last year and a really good one, what did the offseason look like for you, Anthony? I know it was a stressful season for a lot of guys for a lot of different reasons last year. Did you take some time to decompress or were you right back at it relatively quickly?
I normally take about a month off once the season's over. I don't throw. I don't pick up a weight. I just kind of really enjoy my family time. Even though it was a shortened season last year, it felt all of 162 to me mentally and physically. So I try to decompress there once our season was finished and take a month off and then get back in it there in November and start, you know, weight training and then eventually throwing right around Christmas time and ramp on up until spring training.
It's going to be a different looking bullpen for the Marlins in 2021 and Anthony Bass, recently signed by the organization, joining us on this episode of Beyond the Bases. Anthony, you're one of the guys, and I love the look at the back of your baseball card. For folks that haven't followed your career, the Padres, the Astros, the Rangers, Japan, a second stint with the Rangers, the Cubs, the Reds, the Mariners, the Blue Jays, and the Marlins. That's a story of perseverance, man, because a lot of guys wouldn't tolerate that, and they would find something else. Why did you hang in there? Because it's paid off and you've been really good, but why?
I love the game. I love baseball. I love the competitiveness. I love the camaraderie amongst the guys. That's what really just motivates me to keep going. And the changing point in my career was honestly in 2016 when I went to Japan. A lot of people would think that your career in the States is over. but that's sadly mistaken with a bunch of guys going there and kind of revamping their arsenal, kind of coming back to the States and signing a major league contract and kind of reestablishing themselves. So I kind of took that mindset going over there in 2016, gained my confidence back by having success. And then I really figured out who I am as a pitcher. And then when I came back to the States, my confidence was renewed and I knew that I could pitch at the highest level.
I think it's interesting you say that. And I know a lot of guys go over there and they come back and they're very successful. And I'm sure for a multitude of reasons, some of them personal as to why they were able to regain a form they once had. But what do you think it is, Anthony? Because you're not the first one that has gone abroad and played in Japan and come back and made their money in big league baseball and became a really, really good player or returned to some form that they once had.
Good question. For me personally, I think the organization I went to in Japan gave me the confidence and reassurance that, hey, you can come here and we expect you not to just understand and start dominating this game right away. So they kind of gave me like a sense of security. Hey, figure it out here. We're going to stick with you. We're not going to send you down to the minor leagues. And in the States, you don't really have that reassurance. If you're not performing, you're gone. And in Japan, they give you some time, at least the team I was with, to really figure out the game there. And then once I did, I just kept rolling. And then my confidence kept growing and building. And then I knew I was ready to come back.
Do you just feel like a new guy when you do come back, when teams start to reach out, you just feel like yourself again?
I do. I did. When the Rangers came back and wanted to bring me back into the organization, I was really excited. Obviously, a lot of familiarity there. But just like a renewed, like I felt like I just found myself again in Japan. And I went back to the Rangers and didn't have the season I wanted, but I knew I was heading in the right direction.
You mentioned you love the game and it's why you've stuck with it. You grew up in Michigan. You were drafted by the Padres in the fifth round in 2008. After you went to university at Wayne State, where you were extremely successful, you love the game, but when did you fall in love with it?
Probably the earliest memory of baseball I have is when I was 5 years old, honestly. I remember very clearly walking into my parents' kitchen and seeing the Detroit Tigers game, being from Detroit. They're playing a game on the TV, and I remember just stopping there and really just watching what was being played on the television. And after a few minutes, my dad was working in the backyard, and I just remember walking back there and asking him to play catch with me. And he stopped what he was doing. He grabbed a tennis ball from the shed and we just started playing catch. And like, I don't know. I just loved the simpleness of just playing catch. It just like really resonated with me at such a young age.
I ask everybody this, but I love to hear everybody's answer. You go through high school and you go to college and you play ball. At what point did you realize like the reality of the situation, or when did you realize that like I'm better than everybody else, and not in a cocky way, but like, oh, but like I think I can do this for a living. So something's going on here. I think I'm really good and I can continue to do this for a long time and get paid to do it.
It was after my sophomore year at Wayne State University. I went and played summer ball in Northern California for the Yuba Sutter Gold Sox. That was in 2004. And during that year, Tim Lincecum was making his like Giants debut. And I remember seeing this little guy throwing 98, 99 miles an hour. And I was throwing probably right around 90. And I knew I was bigger than he was, but he was doing something unique and different than everyone else. And he was able to generate so much torque with his body to generate this velocity. So I remember the next day after watching him pitch, I grabbed my catcher and I said, hey, I'm going to try something different. Do you mind catching me? And he said, sure. So I get on the mound and I go through my delivery, but I try to like mimic a little bit of Tim Lincecum's in a coil and try to create some more torque. So I threw a couple pitches and he called over our manager and he said, take a look at Anthony. So I threw some pitches for my manager and he says, I want you to do that in your next outing. I said, all right, let's do it. So my next outing, we have a radar gun up on the right field wall. Like I said, I was like 89 to 91 miles an hour all summer long. And the first inning, clean inning, I think I struck out a guy or two. 1, 2, 3, come in the dugout. And my teammates were all just like grinning from ear to ear. Did you look at the board? And I was like, no, I don't look at the board when I'm pitching. And they're like, you didn't throw a fastball below 94 miles an hour.
Really?
I was like 94, 95, 96. And I was like, something just went off in my head where I was like, all right, now I think I've separated myself from the group to put myself in a position to get drafted.
You've had an opportunity to play for a lot of teams, and that's remarkable. It's kind of like that light bulb moment where you're like, yeah, I can do this, and I can do this for a long time. Do you have a moment, even if you weren't on the mound, and maybe it was outside of your debut, that's always very special, that to this day, your most memorable moment in the big leagues that you've been a part of in some capacity?
Obviously, my debut, like you said, was really, really special. Other moment would probably be winning the AL West in 2015 with the Rangers, being a part of that group of guys and being able to play with guys like Adrian Beltre, Josh Hamilton, Prince Fielder, Cole Hamels, like just all-star players and human beings. That was a lot of fun. So that season in 2015 was very memorable for me.
I would say a lot of guys in your position, Anthony, they'd say I'm older and wiser now, because when you're young and you're hungry, you probably take a lot for granted, so to speak, in the big leagues. And you're just that's all you want to do is get guys out, and you don't appreciate some of the finer things. Do you now, after your journey throughout baseball and every time you get to come out of the dugout at 3 p.m. to go play long toss with your buddy, like, did you just appreciate those things at this point in your career?
Oh yeah. I don't take it for granted. And it's funny you say that, because oftentimes I'll think to myself, man, if I just knew then what I know now, you know, like if I knew what works and what doesn't, instead of failing early on, I feel like I would have had a lot longer career. But hey, you know, it is what it is. Everything happens for a reason. I'm supposed to be in this spot at this time to play for the Marlins, so I'm very grateful.
Are you, I ask guys this too, are you a baseball nut? Like, when we're done, do you catch the end of a Dodgers Angels game? Are you a card collector? Is there anything along those lines that some guys love that stuff? Are you part of that at all?
Yeah, I enjoy, like I said, I love baseball, so I'll keep watching baseball. I love the game, I love the competitiveness. I also collect Hall of Fame signatures on baseball, so I have a nice little display case that I have at home, about 30 baseballs of people that I've run into. For example, Edgar Martinez in 2019 with the Mariners. I got to play catch with Cal Ripken Jr. before he threw out his first pitch in AAA in 2014. Wow. He signed me a baseball, the Hall of Fame inscription. And then I have a few other ones that are pretty special to me.
But, do you have one you put above the others? That's hard.
I mean, Cal Ripken Jr. is my all-time favorite player. Growing up, he's the man. He's the Iron Man. And his feat, his record of consecutive games will never be broken. And he's just a really good human being. He's probably my favorite autograph right now, but a close second would be my Mariano Rivera autographed jersey. Those are my two all-time favorite players.
Have you had an opportunity to visit the Hall of Fame? Have you gone to Cooperstown?
I did when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I have two older siblings, two girls, two sisters, I should say. And I have a younger brother. And they all said it was the worst family trip of their lives because they like couldn't stand it. But I was like in awe of everything. I loved it. But they're like, this is so boring.
It's a great place.
It is. I love it. It's so cool.
It's unbelievable, the history that's in Cooperstown. Off the baseball field, I know baseball consumes your life and it's your living within reason, but you're a family man. You just hang out with the family when you're not pitching, or what do you like to do?
Yeah, when I'm home, I kick it with my girls. I have two daughters, 3 and 3 months. My wife, been married for 4 years now. And whenever I'm not at the field, I like spending time with them, whether it's going to the beach, going to the pool, watching TV, playing on the ground with the girls. Like, I don't know. I just enjoy the simple things in life.
And I understand Nashville's home in the off season. Are you a big country music guy?
Yes, Nashville's home. I'm not crazy about country music. I like it, but I'm a big rock music fan.
Wow. Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong. Your wife's sister, Jesse James, correct? So you've kind of married into this a little bit, and her husband, Eric Decker, formerly in the NFL. What's that like? That's pretty darn cool.
It is really cool. You know, Jess and Eric, they're very successful in their careers and what they do. And we oftentimes have game nights at each other's houses in the off season. And it usually gets pretty heated, I'm not gonna lie, because our competitiveness comes out, especially mine, Eric's and Jess's, even my wife, Sydney, she's very competitive too. So it can get pretty heated at nighttime when we're all together.
Is there a go-to game you guys play?
Right now, we're really big into Blockbuster. My wife, she bought it like a few months ago, and we just love like trying to guess movies and movie titles. And that's the game of choice right now.
Wow. Hey, as we sit here on the heels of spring training, you've got a really good pitch mix going into the spring. Are you looking to fine tune anything? Do you try to reinvent yourself in a new way every year, or you had a lot of success last year? We're going to run with a 3-pitch mix and go get outs.
Yeah. 2-seam slider split. I would like to fine tune my split. I would like to throw that a little bit more this coming season. I think it's a really good weapon for me against both left and right-handed batters, because they know that everything I throw is pretty firm, and they know I have a 2-seam and a slider. So it'd be nice to have something a little bit slower that kind of gives them a different look, so they're not just sitting on those two pitches.
All right, now I'm all over the place. If you go back to Japan and when you kind of reinvented yourself there and came back, did you add one of those pitches in? I know a lot of guys go pitch and add a pitch, or was that any of that?
Yeah, I added my split when I was in Japan, and I used to be a 4-seam fastball guy, and I completely stopped throwing my 4-seam fastball because hitters were hitting it. I think my 4-seam fastball batting average against is like over 300, and my 2-seam fastball batting average against is like something like 220 or 225, so significantly less. So I just really focused on throwing my 2-seamer both sides of the plate, lefties and righties, and then I added my split to throw off of it. And when I talk to my catchers, they say the split and the 2-seam look a lot alike. They come off the same plane, the same tunnel, and then obviously one's slower and has some drop to it, where the other one stays true and has some run in the fastball. So that combination, I think, is going to be really, really helpful this year.
Anthony, before we let you run, as we get to know you better, your favorite home-cooked meal that your wife makes, if she says you can have anything you want tonight, what's on the menu?
She knows. It's her shrimp pasta. It's my favorite. The homemade shrimp pasta is so good. I'm a big pasta fan, Italian food. So she knows how to get to my heart.
Go-to pregame meal? What is it in the clubhouse?
Chipotle. Chicken bowl, double meat. I got black beans, brown rice, guacamole. That's my go-to. Good energy food.
That's pregame. In-game, when we see you come out of the bullpen, your song is what?
Oh man, last year I walked out to a Super Trooper song. I don't know if I'm going to go back to it. I know my buddies in Toronto would love for that to be played if and when we do play them, if they hear that. But I'm not sure. I haven't really thought that far. Maybe I'll ask the fans what they think I should walk out to.
There you go. Get engaged on social media. Anthony, I hope we can do this again soon, man. Congratulations. Welcome to Miami. Got to have a couple of years for you out here in the bullpen, hopefully even more. But congratulations again, and looking forward to seeing you and chatting more with you here in a couple of weeks up in Jupiter.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again to Anthony Bass for joining us. And don't forget, if you've missed anything recently, radio show on Tuesday nights or the podcast, it is all available on marlins.com/beyondthebases or wherever you get your podcasts. That's it. We're out of time, but stay safe, take care, and we'll chat with you again soon.